Ime is here with us now live from beautiful Dry Fork, and we'll talk a little bit more. If you know where the Purple Fiddle is, not too far away from Dry Fork, you can get a map and take a look at it. But we'll take a listen to her first song, and then we'll chat a little bit. Here's our good friend Ime.
Well, hello and good morning.
Ime live from Dry Fork, West Virginia. I'll never forget when you taught me it's not a wet spoon, it's a dry fork. So I've never gotten it wrong.
I'm not sure if it helps people remember to say it like that, because then they're like, why am I thinking about a wet spoon? But, you know.
Well, it's helpful.
It helps me.
Helpful to me. You sound great. You need to know as you're listening, Ime truly is in West Virginia, and we're using a special system we have to bring her in with near in the studio like sound. I say near because we don't have her presence and aura here, which is always better. I love that song. I'm glad you played it. Tell me about that song. It's been a couple years, right?
Yeah, it's been a few years. You may have heard that one before, but it's extra fresh. First, thanks for getting me on this stream. You know, it's so different, as I'm sure all musicians out there and most folks out there know. You know, it's just an interesting time to be trying to do things as normal. So I'm so glad to be able to talk with you this Saturday morning. And, you know, even though I don't have John and your expert engineers in the background over here, you know, I, I do feel the support and the love. So it's great to be here.
Yeah, it's very lonely. I mean, if you're not, if you personally are an artist, you are, but for people who are artists, generally you need some human contact, especially if you're a musician.
That's how you learn if what you have is good. You know, you can see people smiling, or you can, you know, hear them laugh, or, you know, kind of nod their head and shut their eyes or sing along with you. You know, I mean, there's so much immediate feedback you get as a musician that you don't get as much from the live streams. And it's nice to see people chatting and whatnot, but I really do miss people.
I can imagine. Now, you're in a pretty rural area, so I imagine you're spending time outside, and but are you able to, you know, go out and shop much? I'm really not sure what things have been like. West Virginia has been relatively not the pandemic hasn't hit the state too hard, I don't believe, last I checked.
Well, I've said from the beginning, it takes longer to hit smaller areas, but I don't think it will be any less devastating, you know, so we're just really playing it safe. We have an incredible community down here. You mentioned the Purple Fiddle, you know, they've been doing all the businesses in town because we are in a tourist area. Have just done a really good job of being, you know, trying to do both, you know, help folks from the city be safe when they visit, and also to keep this virus from getting into the local community. So unfortunately, that means no live music at the Fiddle or elsewhere. But you know, at first my life didn't change a whole lot. I live on a farm in the middle of West Virginia, and, you know, it was just kind of like having a couple weeks off of touring and gigging. And, you know, of course, the band wasn't practicing and I wasn't seeing friends or socializing, so there was that difference. But it was also the beginning of our garden season, and there's a lot going on this time of year on the farm. So I'd say for the first few weeks, or maybe even the first month, it was almost, it was nice. You know, all the yoga classes are online. All of my friends are doing live streams, and I can connect with people, and people are more available on the internet. So that was nice. And yeah, I think, of course, we all want it to be over, but I think it's really important that we still stay safe for the sake of the people that are most vulnerable.
Yeah, there's some things I've mentioned this before, so as you're listening at home, you might be tired of me saying this, but that there's some things that I wouldn't mind sticking around, like if a meeting can be done for 15 minutes face-to-face over Zoom as opposed to driving, parking, meeting for four times as long and leaving, you know, let's do more of it. It's also kind of wonderful to know that people are almost always available to talk to because they're not going out as much. It's a little bit of a move towards simplicity in some ways.
Yeah, it's a very, very astute observation, and keep saying it because I think it's really important that we hear this. You know, it's a time that I just feel like whenever there's a big tidal wave of things that have to be done differently, we also have an opportunity to choose to do things differently. And yeah, sustainability has always been at the forefront of my thinking. You know, and there's a lot there's a lot that we can take out of this time, I think, in our personal lives and culturally and as a society. And you know, I'm an optimist. Of course, there's a lot of terrible things going on, and I just hope that we choose to take the way that will lead us to a better situation for all of us.
Yeah, it takes a lot of hope and a lot of faith of every kind. I have to ask, because I did mention, you may not have heard me, that we might have a bird joining us, but it sounds like the bird has found his or her way out of your house.
Well, I hope so. So one of them flew in. There were two of them, actually, and I've seen like no fewer than three more looking in the windows. So I think what we heard during sound check was like some kind of like someone was trying to claim our home as theirs without realizing that there were already occupants. And then the other bird said, oh, that's a nice home. Let's try to move in too. And so it was quite the racket, as you and Ricky heard. But one of them, I think, flew out the guest room window, or at least is still locked in there with the window open. And I did open another window near the second bird. And you know, assuming that the goldfinch doesn't choose to fly in next, we could be good.
Well, let's talk a little bit more, but why don't we have you play another song? There's lots of people eager to hear from you. Dr. M says hello. He asked me to specifically mention that, so he says hi.
Hello, friend. Great. Well, I'm going to, I guess, start with another song that...
Or Professor M, I should get
Professor
that right.
M. Yeah, I was like, wait a second, I didn't know he became a doctor. That's, but it's similar. I'll play a song that just... oh, there's the goldfinch. This is when I wish we were on a video stream. he's just looking at me. So I do have an audience member now.
There you go.
Okay, bird, this one's for you. Ooh, and I'm sorry, I was chasing birds out of the house, so you'll have to forgive me. Maybe I'll just play it on the other guitar that isn't.
Oh, you can take all the time you need to get ready. I'll remind you that Ime is here. Ime is, in addition to a great musician, is a painter and a teacher, educator. You can go to her website at imemusic.com. Also, we link to her Facebook page to learn more about what she does.
I've decided just to adopt the label artist, and then when people ask what specifically I do, I'm like, well, usually music, but, you know, days change, and some days I'm doing something and not another, but teaching and playing music was my full-time job until schools and venues closed. So we'll see what I am on the other side. Maybe it'll be more in the painter vein. But I'll play a song. This song just won a songwriting award, and I recorded it on my last album and enjoy playing it with my new band too. So this one's called Better Be Enough, and it's just a reflection on kind of that striving culture and striving, you know, feeling like you have to be something bigger, better, different than you are. I rebuke that idea while simultaneously trying to better myself, so who knows? But this is the song. It's called Better Be Enough. Writing to you, sending letters home.
gonna be better. Oh, oh, we gotta be better. Oh, 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 if we're always trying to do better. Oh, oh, then when will better be enough?
Here live from Dry Fork, West Virginia, at the Saturday Light Brigade. So, artist accommodates an awful lot of passions of yours. We could mention them all, but we'd probably run out of time altogether. I know you've been doing a lot of teaching and work with youth, at least until things slowed down. We briefly talked about it, but it sounds like that's been giving you a lot of pleasure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is something that, a passion that you and I definitely share, which is, just the ability as an adult or as a facilitator to be able to encourage the stories and creative expressions of youth. And I think is something that feeds people for life. I know for me, when I was young and first hearing music and learning to play music, I don't know where I'd be without it today. And that's, 30 years after my first encounter with an instrument. And it's such an important part of my life. And I think it goes beyond just the technical aspects of playing an instrument. I know that most of the people that I teach or work with are not going to go off and become professional musicians like I did. But I do hope that encouraging creativity and that, that spark of like, what is my story? What is my song? How do I play this song? How do I, tell this thing that needs to be told in my heart or, off the page, whatever. That ability to both speak your truth and to share it and the searching for it, which is a huge part of the creative process, trying to find what it is that we have to say or sing. I mean, there's so many aspects that I think fuel the ability for a child to turn into an adult who knows how to shape their own world, who knows how to, think it, dream it, wish it, do it, become it, no matter what it is.
Yeah, the doing it and becoming it are probably the hardest for a lot of people, myself included. You mentioned earlier, there are a lot of choices to make. choices in terms of mm-hmm. how you're going to believe in things, how you're going to adapt to things, whether you're going to adapt to them or not. And that in of itself can be overwhelming, but most choices are malleable over time. So it's good to explore. And you've
and
evolved.
I think we forget that our choices change us.
Yes.
You know, choices change the world. They change everything around us. And it's so critical to know that you have agency. So when I teach, it's not about teaching the technical aspects of music or how to use recording equipment. I'm teaching them how to take something and turn it into the world. And, you know, that's what's important to me. The music's great. It makes it more fun that we have something interesting to do. But that's the point for me.
Yeah, and that's you know, you may not know, Ime worked at SLB for a few years, and you know, we had to let Ben take her to West Virginia, but it's sort of using in our case it was radio documentaries or oral histories as a vehicle to stay engaged, but also if you're a teen creating these things, you change as a result of what it is that you're doing. And it's true as adults, too, as you change how you're doing things, what you're playing, what you're doing. As you are, it feeds back and changes you at the same time. It adds to
and
what...
I think it creates a sense of history, too, to mm-hmm. connect it to the work that SLB has done and that we worked, you know, that you and I worked together on when I was with SLB. You know, these oral histories are a way of connecting you to your own past. And I think, you know, youth don't, the kids are autonomous and invincible and all of those things. But I think when you let an adult, like we did with the crossing fences, you know, just all of the programs that you do is about allowing people to share their story. So especially when the teens are listening to these adults say, I was where you were, and these are the decisions I made, and this is how I wound up where I am, and these are the things that I've thought about along the way. You know, it gives a child who otherwise maybe doesn't have the same kind of role models, gives them a chance to see what options are there. And then they know, because they've learned to speak their story and answer these questions too, and learned how to ask important questions, they find that they can find different ways. I think that's a big part of, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, especially that's happening now, is like, I love the fact that these voices are finally being heard. It's so critical and critical to the listening and to the telling.
Absolutely. And the images were typically shown, and I've always stressed this about youth, but it's true of adults generally too. We see through most mass media, and let's just leave it with youth right now, we either see perfect cherubic central casting, almost like model caliber children, or we see the exact opposite end of the spectrum, kids that have really gotten in trouble. We don't see ordinary, not ordinary, but everyday people, let's say. So we end up having these mm-hmm. images that we should be one extreme or the other, rather than just naturally what they are. So even if you end up having a really good role model in life, that role model might feel that he or she needs to shield some of his life story from a youth that's interviewing them. So really having the courage, as so many of our adults have, to tell it like it is and to share that story has been really important. And to know that life is not a linear path. You know, it never is a linear path, no matter what you think.
And when you think it is, that's when you get a left, turning left. You know, I was just interviewed for a PBS series about preserving tradition. I mean, maybe that's not exactly what the theme of this show was, but we wound up talking a little bit about that. And I said, you know, I never thought I'd wind up in West Virginia. I grew up in Boston and I lived in Pittsburgh for 15 years. And here I am in rural West Virginia and this is home. You know, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. I was talking to a neighbor yesterday, again, in the oral tradition, since we're on that kick. I mean, she's telling me the history of our mountain here. We live on the side of a mountain called Snyder Mountain, Rich Mountain, they call it too. The old timers call it Rich Mountain. And, you know, there's maybe two or three old families that owned this mountain historically. And then, of course, it gets passed down over generations. So I start to hear these stories and it was just incredible. And, you know, what I told her was, yeah, I grew up in the New England area and this feels like home. You know, it's like a, I don't know how, but, you know, I think those of us who have been lucky enough to have that experience of feeling like you have arrived in a place and this is somewhere you want to stay, you know, that's, it's a really powerful experience. And, you know, some people live there for generations and generations, and some people, circuitously wind up on the side of a mountain. So.
Erica May is here, Ime, and I put a link up to imemusic.com on our Facebook page. There's also one at slbradio.org. A number of albums. You can look at her art. There's a lot for you to check out. I sense we're heading to the piano. Maybe not, but
you're doing the adjustments. Yes.
That's okay. Please make them, but I just it's the one thing we miss. As you probably can tell, she's not live in the studio. I was right. I did see the piano through the radio. What are you about to play?
You have radio X-ray vision.
Yes. I've honed it over many years. Nice sweater, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so I'll play a song that is... Again, like the circuitous way that we live our lives and how little things can change in so many ways. I wrote this coming back from Los Angeles, possibly after, I've been to LA a bunch to record and work and do music industry things, but this was on a trip home talking to a gentleman next to me who was a playwright, and he told me that the theme of this play that he had been writing and working on while he was in LA, and it's a longer story than I can tell, and it's his story to tell when he actually puts it out, but he asked if I would write a song, or I offered to, and sent him this, and it's called Mountain Home, and it's about missing people we love, and thinking about that when we're just doing things throughout our day. And you will hear how wonderfully out of tune my piano is. I had my piano tuner scheduled to come down on March 22nd, so he, of course, did not come. And it has been slowly becoming more and more out of tune. But you know what? I kind of like it this way, so I hope you do too. It's called Mountain Home, and it goes like this. Where my loved ones.
That's Ime at the Saturday Light Brigade. What was the name of that song?
That one's called Mountain Home, or A Mountain Home. It's not released on anything just yet. And I don't know. It's one of those things that maybe it will be at some point, but in the meantime, I'll play it live once in a while.
Ime's latest album is called Let Out Your Ghosts, and it features a full band, and has been doing well. You mentioned you have a local band you're playing with to support the album. You must miss getting out and doing that.
Oh, yeah. We actually just figured out a way to have rehearsals again, which is great. I have a new studio, and it's a big studio, so we just keep the windows open, and we're all being, you know, extra super safe right now. So we're like, well, we feel comfortable, and we have some elderly folks in our bubble, so we're being extra careful, all of us, and our loved ones, of course. And, you know, we're just gonna try and it changed me being able to play with other people again. You know, I love just writing, and you know, my introverted side really appreciates just having some time at home to make music. And but being able to play with other people again, just, it was the first thing that felt normal in a few months. And we're not playing out yet. We're just kind of working on new material. And this band that I'm with, we were joking because on one of our first practices back, I said, you know, I think I pulled out a riff that I wrote when I was 15 years old, and I've never played it with a band. I may have never played it for anybody else, but we started riffing on this piece that I had written at 15, and it was great. And I looked at them afterwards. I said, guys, you are the band I have been wanting for my whole life. This is the band. And I have, like you said, that the last album I recorded in Los Angeles with some amazing musicians, very well-known for a good reason type musicians, work, they're just incredible work, but they're the feeling that you get when you're playing with someone for 2 years, so they really know you and know the songs, and we know what we're trying to do together, is just a whole different feeling. So we changed our name just recently to The Moon My Twin, and we are getting ready to release an album. We've started getting mixes back, and we recorded it pre-COVID, and you know, have this time now to mix and put some videos together and album art and all that. So that's coming out hopefully very soon.
You may not realize, as you listen to Ime here, so many musicians make a living touring, and their lifestyle is based on that. And in Ime, you certainly tour, but not to the degree that some musicians do. And it's got to be just a total shock to the system, as much as folks who are used to going in, you know, to a building every day and seeing other people every day. We've shown a lot of adaptability. But in some cases, in the case of a musician, it stops income. It can stop the flow of creativity because you're not being able to interact with people in the way that you do. As somebody who's, you know, I always talk about concerts, you know, that's means mm-hmm. to do something in concert with another mm-hmm. person, and it's not quite the same.
It's entirely different. I mean, there's so many pieces of it that are different, and you know, like you mentioned, I've been able to sustain a living as a musician without heavy touring, and that's basically by design. I mean, I have, whenever I go to LA, my friends there say, when are you moving? I say, you know what? I'm very happy where I am. And now I've been talking to some of my friends who live in big cities, and they say, now we understand, you know, we have some acreage and can walk around and live in the middle of the wilderness and are very, you know, overall very safe just in our daily lives, as far as having to worry about the pandemic. But, you know, and I say it's hard too. It's even though not a whole lot has changed for us, the world has changed, and artists are susceptible to that. I did an open mic on Wednesday, a virtual open mic, which is open to all. If anyone listening decides they need a little bit of a music community and want to join us, you can. Those are on my website. But yeah, we were just chatting about it, about how hard it is to write during this time for some people. Mm-hmm. And I went through a bit where maybe like 2 months of just feeling like, oh, I have some things, but nothing was really clicking. And, you know, when this other open micer was telling me about his experiences with that, I said, you know what, I think what I've seen for myself and for most of my musician friends is that it's totally natural that, you know, creative work takes thought, takes energy, takes bandwidth that we don't have when everything is in question, when our whole lives are up in the air, you know. And for touring musicians that have to stop, you know, now they're live streaming, so they're figuring out technology, they're figuring out online payment things, maybe they have a management team to help them, but you know, they also then have road crew to pay, and I mean, there's just so many. I could talk about that for the next hour, but now we have limited time here, so I'll be careful. It's a different world now, and some people are adapting well, and I have a lot of empathy for those who are not adapting as well, that this is a very hard time for, and both within the artistic community and in the world in general.
And it's not just the pandemic. There's a lot going on all over. I can't believe it. We have about 8 minutes of radio time left, which is either one or two songs, depending on their length. What a fast... I knew this would go by really quickly.
yeah, it does.
As you're thinking, hello to Robert, who says how great you sound, and Bruce happened to mention that as well.
Oh, hi, friends. Wish I could see your faces, and I'm just so thrilled to be a part of the SLB family. You've taught me so much over the years, Larry.
Oh.
You know, just it's true. Take the compliment. You can handle it.
I'll take it. You have to.
You've been doing this important work, and you know, I want to chat with you about all of the things, how it's changed for you. But I know that the work that you've done has impacted not just me personally, and everyone that's worked with you, and seen how dedicated you are to radio as an equalizing medium. You know, it's just so important. I think now more than ever, radio is just such an important medium. And the way that you do it is really specific. And those of you those listeners who know and have been listening to the show for a long time, they know what I'm talking about. You're critical. I hope you know that.
Thanks, Hime. I'm sorry. I was just thinking that critical could be one of those words with two very different meanings, right? Either I couldn't help but to go there. I'm thinking, yeah, I knew exactly what you meant, but critical, you're either like you really criticize people or you're important.
No,
I know exactly what you meant. You know, my mind in words. I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting.
You're doing such important work. That's what I mean to say.
No.
And both, you know, the people that are listening on here might not always hear. You know, and this is one interesting thing that has changed for most artists is that we're all kind, and for people in general, we're just allowing more people into the behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally when you have a radio show, yeah, you have this live part, but a lot of the bits are pre-recorded and a lot of the interviews, you know, the crossing fences and there's so many pieces that are pre-recorded. You know, Chinesa's not actually live there reading the ads. But then, you know, with artists, like I started a Patreon campaign, which is like a private social network for people getting kind of the inside scoop on an artist that they really like. And there's no ads and there's no algorithms, so you just get direct information. And as a result, I'm able to share these works in process that, you know, like I said, Mountain Home may never be on an album, but the Patreons will get a version of it. They'll hear it. And so that's both really awesome and kind of intimidating.
Well, and it's taken a risk, getting, you know, it's cliche, but kind of getting outside of your usual zone or comfort zone. You know,
people in more than getting out.
Yeah.
You know, you're showing people the vulnerable parts where you're like, oh, I don't really know how this song goes yet, but this is what I'm working on now. And just because you want people to see, and that's what they're asking for on this Patreon platform.
Right. And, you know, it's brave, but you probably didn't hear, but the teen writer that was on just before you describes her books as stories you can escape to. And I love that phrase, escaping to instead of escaping from.
So powerful.
You know, here we are. Now we're definitely down to one song. as you think about what that's going to be, I'm just going to thank teen writer Bonnie Sinclair, the principal contra bassoon at the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, Jim Rogers, for being with us today. And thanks to Ime, who's here too. I'm going to let you play us out.
I'm going to switch back to guitar for a second because I don't write my set lists out normally unless I'm with the band and we need to, but I'll go, especially in an interview with the conversations that we're having and what I'm feeling in the moment. So this is a song I wrote during the quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Giving Everything to Love. There's no going back to the status quo from here. So I lean into my faith, breathe into my fears. Can I keep traveling against the wind? Find home again. Still I miss you, my friend. Walk with me into this raging storm. Well, I'll give you my trust, you keep me calm. We can rebuild our lives all over again. They lied when they said how good it was before this war came in. Now I'm giving everything to love, or I am giving everything to love.
I'm giving everything to love, to love, to love, to love, to alone in this world.